Bibles, we'll go to Mark chapter 1. We're going to begin again in the book of Mark. Today, this morning and tonight, we're going to be looking at the ministry and teaching ministry and healing ministry of our Lord. Today, we're going to be looking at Jesus the teacher. And we're going to see, I'm not going to keep you too long today, speaking three times on a Sunday. I got to shorten it somewhere. And so we're going to just see what we can pull out of the text this morning and tonight, okay, about our Lord and his ministry. There are many that believe that Jesus was nothing else but a good man and a good teacher. They say, well, I don't believe he's God. I don't believe he's Lord. I don't believe he was God's son. I don't believe he came to save us from our sins. He was just a good prophet. He was a good man. He was a good teacher. But they don't understand, unless the Holy Spirit opens their eyes, that he was God. God come in the flesh. The context, remember, of our message this morning in verse 21 through 28 is, so far we looked at John the Baptist coming, introducing the promised king, forerunner. And we looked at the baptism of Jesus as the Lamb of God and how he identified with those that he came to save. We looked a little bit at the temptation of Jesus, proving that he was the Messiah. We do know that Jesus was tempted to prove that he could not sin, not to prove he might sin, okay? And then also we looked a little bit at the theme of his preaching was the gospel and the calling of the first disciples. We kind of skipped over that, but I'm going to go right into verse 21 today. And we're going to get a bird's eye view, a glimpse into the actual ministry and teaching ministry and healing ministry of our Lord on a typical day in his earthly ministry here. So as we move through this text, we'll see what we can pull out as we go through. We see Jesus as teacher. And he taught with authority, and he showed his authority by his miracles. So let's look at the text, and let's begin in verse 21, if you'll stand in honor of God's word. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day he entered into the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority, not as the scribes. And there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Thou art come to destroy us. I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. That is amazing right there. The demons know Jesus, but many people walking around today don't know him, right? And he says, and Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace, come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had torn him, he cried with a loud voice, and he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, what thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region round about Galilee. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, show us from the text about our Lord. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Two thoughts I want to share with you about the teaching ministry and the healing of ministry of Jesus. Tonight we'll talk about the unclean spirit. But two thoughts I want to share with you this morning about his teaching. Speaking with authority, and then he showed his authority. Look in verse 21 and 22, we see he spoke with authority. The Bible tells us in verse 21 the setting of his teaching. And they went into Capernaum, and straightway on the Sabbath day entered into the synagogue and taught. Capernaum was where Jesus' headquarters of his earthly ministry was. After he was rejected in Nazareth, he went to Capernaum. That's where he called the four fishermen in the previous verses to this text. Capernaum was his ministry headquarters. It was a fishing village. And that's where he called four of his disciples who were fishermen. We see in verses 16 through 20. And it says he went into the synagogue and he found a ready audience. You remember when you witnessed to the Jews, you begin where they're at. They knew about God the Father. They knew about the coming Messiah, but they rejected Jesus. You begin with them. With the outright Gentiles, lost people, you must begin with creation. So the law of Moses was still in effect, so he went to the synagogue. As an obedient Jew, he fulfilled the law. He was obedient in every aspect. He was our perfect. He lived in perfect righteousness, and he fulfilled the law. He kept the law. He completed the law. What the law was going to do to us, condemning us because we could not keep it in the flesh. He kept it so that we can come to him by faith and have eternal salvation. He went into the Sabbath and went on the Sabbath, Saturday. For the Jews, it was a day of for the nation of Israel. The Lord's day is for the church. And so that's why we're here today. Now, the word synagogue there means a gathering of people for secular or religious purposes. It really means a gathering. They would read and explain the law of Moses, and then they would pray. And it took 10 men to have a synagogue. You must have 10 men to form a synagogue. And he was teaching in the synagogue, in his itinerant ministry, if you will. And remember the promise of what Paul said, to the Jew first and to the Greek? So Jesus even did that. He went to the Jews first and then the Greek, we see in Romans 1:16. So that's the setting of his teaching. But see what else we can learn. Look at the manner of his teaching in verse 22. And they were astonished. They were amazed at his doctrine. The word doctrine, also believes a body of beliefs, but the word doctrine really means teaching, at his teaching on the body of beliefs, okay? I had somebody one time got all upset at their pastor, and they kept coming to me and say, all he talks about is Bible doctrine. And I said, well, is there anything else? Bible teaching, right? That's what it's all about. So we see in verse 22, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. What does that mean, as one who had authority? Well, the verse answers it for us. Not as the scribes, okay? He spoke with authority. They were astonished, not like the scribes. The word really there in verse 22, they were astonished. Literally in the Greek means they were struck out of their senses and overwhelmed. His teaching was forceful, and it was with a purpose. Now, not like the scribes. The scribes, they were copyists. They were editors. They were lawyers. They were teachers. They were so-called experts on the law. But Jesus taught them as one having authority. Why that statement there? Why that statement there? Well, the scribes would quote what they heard from the rabbis. And that's all they knew. They would quote what the rabbis taught them. And the rabbis not only had gotten away from teaching the actual five book of Moses and began to teach some oral traditions that they added to the law, okay? And they had no authority once they got out of the Word of God, right? And so these scribes would quote what they heard the rabbis say. But when Jesus taught them like no other man taught them, why? Because every time he spoke, he was writing scripture, right? All right, now let's give you an amen. What you have in your Bible is what Jesus spoke. Now, it doesn't contain all the things that he said. The Bible says that. The books couldn't contain all the world. The world couldn't contain all what he said and did. But he has what we need to know, right? So he spoke with them authority. He didn't speak about what the rabbis had told him. He spoke from the very throne of God. He was giving revealed truth. For instance, you remember on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, you have heard it said. Scribes and Pharisees would say this over and over on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5-7. And Jesus said, but I say unto you, right? Because he took this outward righteousness teaching that they did to the heart. But I say unto you, they have perverted the law. They have added to the law. They have misinterpreted the law. But I say unto you. So he spoke to them as one having authority. That was the manner of his teaching. So he spoke with authority. And then when I get up on Sundays, I don't speak with authority because all I'm doing is explaining and exhorting the already revealed Word of God. I didn't write this book. It's my job to get into it and interpret it correctly so that I get up and I can explain it to you and exhort from the Word of God with passion. We need to be passionate about the truths that we share. But I don't give you new revelation, right? If I was to get up here and tell you, the Lord told me Jesus is coming back tomorrow, you ought to be looking for a new pastor by that afternoon, right? The Lord got up here and told me something, and I said something to you about it. The Lord told me, I don't need to be around here very long, right? And by the way, if you get up and say the Lord told you, you don't need to be around here too long either, okay? And so he spoke with authority. But then secondly, in verse 23 through 28, he showed his authority. It was not just a matter of his teaching, but Jesus complimented his teaching with miraculous signs. Look in verse 23 through 26, the power of his authority. The Bible says there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone." That lets us know that he's either speaking for other demons or there might have been more than one in the man. "What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Thou art come to destroy us." Well, they know more about the plan of God than many Christians do, amen? It's amazing. "Thou art come to destroy us. I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, and he came out of him. And they were all amazed, and so much that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? With what authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits?" Now, in the coming weeks, we're going to look at who can forgive sins. And only Jesus can do that. He commanded even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. Remember? In the miracles of Jesus, he proved he was over, what, the devil? He was over demons. He was more powerful than disease, and he was more powerful than death, right? What kind of man is this that they obey him? And immediately his fame spread abroad throughout all the region round about Galilee. So there was the power of his authority in verses 23 through 26. There was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit. That word unclean means morally impure. He was a demon. We know that when Satan, Lucifer, was cast out of heaven because he wanted to be like God, there was a third of the angels. Angels are innumerable. We don't know how many angels they are, but the Bible says that in Isaiah and Ezekiel, a third of them were cast out of heaven with Lucifer. Some are in bondage. Some are in Jude chapter 1, verse 6, and also 2 Peter 2, 4 says, "Some are bound in Tartarus, the abode of wicked angels, ready to be released later." Some are going about as demons, evil spirits. Whether it's an angel or whether it's a demon, they're spirits. They're invisible unless they was to take on a human form, the Bible teaches us. And so it's amazing here. He said, "Leave us alone," speaking of all the demons maybe. So the demons acknowledged that he was the Holy One of God. And they affirmed, more than many people sitting in churches today, that Jesus is sinless and he's deity. You are the Holy One of God. You are sinless. You are deity, right? We got liberal churches today, folks, even in our Thomas County, do not believe that Jesus was sinless and do not believe he was God come in the flesh. I wouldn't call him a church. I wouldn't call him a church. So they pronounced truths that many deny and still deny today. But these demons here, they're going about doing the devil's work. Satan is not omniscient. He's not omnipotent. He's not omnipresent like God. He can only be in one place at a time, but he has demons that go out and do his work. Now, they can't inhabit a believer, regardless of what you hear people teaching. You have the Holy Spirit. You can be influenced. You can be maybe oppressed, but you cannot be indwelt by a demon, right? And I'm telling you what, and during the time of Christ and his earthly ministry, there was the greatest amount of demonic work on the face of the earth while Jesus had his three-year ministry. And guess when the next period is going to be? After the church is raptured, during the tribulation period, you're going to see those that are left behind are going to see demons galore like they never saw before. So you would think that Satan, when Christ came on his earthly ministry, was headed toward the cross, you would think that's when Satan would send them out to do their dastardly work the most, to keep Jesus Christ from the cross. And their job is to hinder the work of God. Their job is to pervert the gospel. Their job is to blind unbelievers. Their job is to keep people out of church, to bring alongside what used to be faithful church members that serve in the Lord, to bring alongside them the worldly entertainments that keep them out of church. Their job is to keep lost people lost. Their job is to divert the scripture by many different translations. Their job is to come up with a perverted gospel, a gospel that leaves grace alone through faith alone and Christ alone. Anything that has a work to grace alone through faith alone and Christ alone is a cult. It is not the true gospel. If there's anything you've got to do to work for your salvation, that is wrong. Can somebody give me an amen? It is totally by the grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, but not a faith that is alone, right? So their job is to bind and blind. Now, during his earthly ministry, again, there was a great increase of these demonic beings. We still see them today, probably. They hinder the church and want to pervert the message and things like discourage believers and things like that. But praise God, Jesus had victory over that. Colossians 2:15 says, "And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly triumphing over them on it." When Christ hung on the cross triumphantly, openly, he declared to the world that Satan is he's judged. He's going to have a little bit while to do his work, but he's on a leash, and it's going to reach its last chain, and God's going to come back and destroy him. So Jesus rebuked the demon, and he commanded him to come out of him. The Bible says he tore him. The word has convulsed him. The man had a convulsion as the demon was coming out of him. Now in verses 27 through 28, not only do we see the power of his authority, but secondly, we see the reaction to his authority. Look again in verse 27. "And they were all amazed. And they began to question, what strange doctrine is this? What new thing is this? For with authority he commanded even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." Now listen to this. "And immediately his fame," you might want to underline that word, "fame, spread abroad throughout all the region round about him." Now, the purpose of the miracle was so that people would believe his message. Remember, that's what the Messiah did. When Jesus came, he worked miracles to prove that he was the Messiah. That wasn't his first and foremost task, was just to work miracles. His first and foremost task was to seek and to save that was lost. But he affirmed his Messiahship through miracles. The same way with the apostles. How do we know they were sent from God? Well, God gave them the ability to work miracles to prove that they were true messengers of God, and this is the message that you need to hear. It was always to confirm a message when God healed. Now, he not only taught with authority, he acted with authority, but his fame grew, and that was a problem. His fame grew. You do understand the Bible is inspired, amen? Right? But the Bible also records things that maybe God may not have approved of. Like Solomon had many wives. Does that mean we go out and have many wives? No, it's inspired. It's a historical account. He had many wives. Not necessarily that God approved of it, right? But the Bible was inspired. And it said his fame grew. And that would become a problem for him. Why? Because many people then and many people today focus on the signs and not the message. The Bible tells us very plainly his fame grew. Why? Many people were following him because of the signs. Jesus never came to be famous. He was humble, a humble servant who came to serve us, who came to die on the cross for us. And it bothers me that we have in the church today many churches that think you got to invite an athlete, you got to invite a Hollywood actor, God forbid. You got to invite this, you got to invite that. Nobody can come to Christ unless you've got a celebrity speaking at the meeting. That's hogwash, right? We are not into celebrity. There are no celebrity pastors, even though people make celebrity pastors. Jesus didn't come to be famous. He came to do the Father's will. Are y'all following your pastor today? And this really hindered his ministry later because people were attracted to him because of what he could do, not who he was. And they fell away. They fell away because they were following the signs and not the scriptures. So Jesus would later claim all authority in heaven and earth, and he commanded the disciples to make disciples, to baptize, and to teach. And we are to do what he came to do. We are to have the Great Commission to go out and make disciples, to baptize them, and to teach them. This is a day in the life of our Lord, in his teaching, and tonight we'll look at his healing. Okay, all heads bowed, all eyes closed. Just I want to ask you a question before you stand up. I want to ask you a question. Have you or are you willing today to recognize his teaching and authority in your life today, and to surrender him?